Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host of the Daily Challenges. Today's Wednesday, the day we try to make sense of what we read in the Bible yesterday, and today we'll be reading a little bit more of the passage as well. So right now we're studying the prophet Ezekiel. Prophet given words by God, a vision of dry bones in a valley coming back to life with the Spirit of God breathed into them. This was meant to give hope to a devastated people who were about to lose everything, about to be overrun. God is wanting to give them some hope. Now there's more than what we read yesterday, so here's a little more of the prophecy God gave to Ezekiel.
I will make them one nation in the land, on the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king over them all, and they shall be no longer two nations, and no longer divided into two kingdoms. They shall not defile themselves any more with their idols and their detestable things, or with any of their transgressions, but I will save them from all their backslidings in which they have sinned, and I will cleanse them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. My servant David shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. They shall walk in my rules, and be careful to obey my statutes. They shall dwell in the land that I gave to my servant Jacob, where your fathers lived. They and their children and their children's children shall dwell there forever, and David my servant shall be their prince forever. I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will set them in their land and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in their midst forevermore. My dwelling place shall be with them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
So God is going to bring this people back to life in graphic detail. We heard that described. It was beautiful. But he's also going to reorganize them as one nation. Israel had been divided. There were these two kingships that existed for a time. It wasn't ideal, but it was what it was. But now God was promising that someday he would reunite the kingdom. They would be together under one king. Now, of course, this probably sounds like something that could and did happen. Israel did regather. They did return to their land. However, like a lot of prophecies we've studied, there are both present-day applications for those who heard this prophecy directly from Ezekiel, and there were future implications. The present-day implication, yes, someday Israel would return to their land. They would have a new temple. They'd be able to worship God there. They'd be able to do all those things. But there's a little clue in this passage that indicates there's more going on, that there's a part of this promise that's not going to be fulfilled in the immediate political landscape. The hint here is about who the king will be that they will live under. It says King David. But King David is already long dead. So when we see King David referred to here, we're hearing about the kingship of David, the line of David, the descendants of David, this house of David that would produce a line of kings, including the one greatest king they would ever have, the Messiah. David was seen as a bit of a prototypical king. He wasn't perfect, but he was the one that they really loved and cherished in their memory of the kings of old. He wasn't perfect, but he pointed the way to a king who would be perfect, their Messiah, which meant anointed one, or Christ. Kings were anointed in those days, that someday there would be an anointed one who was more than just a king, but who was God's chosen leader for Israel to lead them out of the times of trial they faced, to establish them in their land, in their relationship with God forever. In this passage, the vision of the Messiah is expressed beautifully. Where Israel would be able to live in their land forever, where their children would be safe, where their children could reproduce, and where multiple generations could be established in the land of their ancestors, going all the way back to Jacob. There was great hope in this passage as they read that someday they would have the stability they had longed for. Part of the basis for this is that they will live under God's law, that they won't worship other gods, that sin won't be looming over them. In short, they'll be God's people, and he'll be their God. gets said twice in this passage, but I think it's a great line. It really sums up the new covenant that God wants to make with his people. He wants to be their God and them his people. That's how it was meant to be. That's what we were created for. But something that the human race threw away in rebelling against God, trying to be God ourselves, trying to take his place, we pushed him away. We broke off that relationship. We were no longer his people. But God has a plan. Through this Messiah, to have Israel as his people again and to be their God. We'll hear some more of that tomorrow. But in the meantime, I want you to explore how this could be. If we're broken, sinful human beings, then where is the turning point? What does this passage say has to happen to the people of Israel before they can experience this amazing and hopeful future? Who or what can actually make this possible? Have a great discussion. I'll see you tomorrow.